If Philippians chapter 2 is where we're going this morning in our text today. There, Philippians is a wonderful book for a church and a people that cares. It's amazing. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll talk today about a man that cares. But if we were to study this book, we'd find in chapter 4 there's a church that cares in the book of Philippians. If we were to, we would find out there's a Savior that cares in chapter 2. Chapter 1, we find there's a preacher that cares. Philippians is about a caring bunch of people this morning. And I found out that preaching faith promise to folks that don't care doesn't seem to mean, and very often it becomes offensive. We often say when we come to these churches in Glory Land as an established faith promised church, and we thank God for it. I remember when Brother Charlie came to our place at Bethany and preached our first missions conference we ever had there and got it started. I can remember going with his church over the years. I remember going off and building buildings, Brother Charlie. I remember sleeping on the ground and building buildings together. I can remember shared offerings. Y'all were in some project and we heard about it and got involved, and we got missionaries that we support together. And one of the things that's most precious to me about this church is you support my daughter on the mission field. And thank the Lord for that. You don't know how much that means to us that you support Melanie. She's doing a great work. Sometime during the week I'll tell you more about it. They had 66 children last year in this building. No lights, no anything, just a block building out there. She had 66 this year. She called me, texted me last night and told me that they have 79 registered already so far, and she still got a week to go, so she expects another 15 or so to come in. She don't know where she'll put them all at, but she's doing a great work over there. You don't have to be school age to go to school in New Guinea. She had one guy, he thinks he's 18, but he may be 25. He don't know how old they are. Don't nobody keep up with none of that stuff. They really don't know. And he didn't never learn, so he's doing in the ACE. She had him doing Ace and Christie, you know. So all the little kids walking around, he's just coming right on behind them. I mean, just glad to be there. Sit down there and do it. He's a warrior. He got a knife this long, you know. He totes in there in the morning, hangs it up on the thing, goes to school. So, you know, they're doing a great job over there, and thank the Lord for it and what's going on. But it, because somebody's got to care, amen. Now, church this morning, I don't know if you care or not, but I think you do. The church has got a reputation of being a caring church, and I just want to reiterate that to you today. This faith promise offering that we're going to be talking about all week, when we come to preach them, we really come for three things. I said this at Brother Andrew McAfee's church, the first one I ever preached for him over there, and he lost two families right there. I run them off. I don't know. I didn't know Brother Charlie. I didn't mean to do a thing to him. But if you get mad, leave me. Don't leave Brother Justice. Amen. But I told him, I said, we came for your money, really. We want you to get involved financially in this offering. We're not ashamed of that. Amen. That's what we're doing. Listen, I don't want a quarter for myself, but I'd like to get everything that you'd be willing to give to send to the mission field. Number two, and most important, we came for your heart. If the Holy Ghost of God will get a hold of your heart, there won't be no problem with your pocketbook. That won't ever be an issue, amen, if the Holy Spirit gets your heart. But then also, we came for your children. I'm telling you, I'm in the business of enlisting missionaries. We got a world here. One night this week, I don't want you to miss it. I want to preach a message that's mainly about the mission field in America that we're living in. We got a mission field about us right here. But I'm telling you, there's a world dying. You know, one of the old great mission preachers over there, I believe it was Oswald J. Smith again, I think he said that we talk a lot about the second coming of Christ when over two-thirds of the world hadn't heard about the first. Do you know there's multiplied thousands of people in that 1040 window over there that don't know anything about Jesus? And nowadays, America's such a heathen nation now. We got children growing up right now that don't know anything about God. They don't know the Bible stories. They don't know anything about God. We've done a real good job in some areas of sending people overseas and a bad job of sending people home. Listen, we need some of you young people to think about this. I mean, get it in your heart. You know what you want at 15, you'll probably get when you're about 25. Come on, bro. Amen. What you want when you're 25, you'll probably get when you're about 40, 45. And so you need to get your desires headed in the right way right now. And there's no greater thing that you could do but to make up your mind that you wanted to be a missionary. Eric Little was a great missionary, came from Scotland. Everybody knows him about his running abilities. He died at 48 years old in China in a camp. But Eric Little had decided when he was 8 years old that he was going to be a missionary. And I'm telling you, remember, he was known for that story, Chariots of Fire. They made a movie about it. Came down to Sunday to run. He was an Olympic runner, and he wouldn't run. He wouldn't run because the tryouts were on Sunday. He said, no, sir, if I have to run on Sunday, I won't run. And he wouldn't run. He lost an opportunity to run in three races in the Olympics. They put him in the 440. He ran the 440. They didn't think he had a chance. He won a gold medal. The night before he left for China, he won three races the night. He was won the most gold medals of all in Scotland. He won three medals, left for the mission field. You know why? He was a man that cares. He made his mind up when he was a little old 8-year-old boy that this is what God wants me to do in my life. And all of his life, he worked toward that place. So we came to talk to you young people about the mission field, considering putting your hand, your life, in the hands of the Lord to use somewhere. Don't specialize. Just give your heart to God. God will show you where you need to be. Now, if you're in Philippians chapter 2, I want to read. I'll start reading here in about verse, I don't know. Maybe I better get about verse 17. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Now, every missionary knows that there's two things that he's got to be ready for. That is, he's got to be ready for sacrifice, and he's got to be ready for service. You see that right there in the text? Paul said, I'm a man that care, and a caring man knows that caring is going to call for sacrifice and for service. Amen. And here tonight, here today in the church, if you're here and you're one of God's children and you love God and you care about the things of God, you ought to have ingrained in your mind that there's at least two things that you've got to expect right here on the front end. And that is, it's going to call for you to make some sacrifices in your life, and it's going to call for you to serve God. Amen. Jesus said it so plainly. Our Lord said you can't serve God and mammon, because you're either going to love the one and hold to it, or love the other and cast the other away. Tonight, as we talk about this thing of missions, missions giving, missions going, missions praying, missions mindsets, we got to start with the idea that if we're going to love God and be serious about this mission program, we need to be ready to accept whatever sacrifice that the sweet Holy Ghost of God should choose to bless us with. We need to be willing to make that sacrifice. They sang that song about laying it all down up here. We need to be willing to lay our all down. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? We learn way more about those people by what they kept back than by what they gave away. God's intending for us today to be interested and involved in this work of missions, but it's not light work. It's not like Brother Justice talked about. It's not Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong. It's not tipping God, amen. It's getting involved, head and shoulders, hands, hoof and all, right in the work of God, willing to give whatever it is that God asks of. I was in New Guinea twice last year, and I saw the Lord do things that I didn't believe in my lifetime I'd ever really see God do. But while I was in New Guinea, the first time I took Melanie there, it was a long way for her to go by herself. By the way, she just went back by herself. She just came by herself. She was 42 hours up flying to get there. Amen. She's got the heart of a missionary. She won't buy a ticket to go straight through. She'll buy the cheapest one she can so she can spend your money on the mission field. Now, she don't care if she gives her daddy an ulcer, flying all over Asia by herself, trying to get there, but that's the heart of a missionary. But when I was there getting ready to leave that, I'm preaching on a man that cares, okay? And when I was getting ready to leave that place over there, I'd been there 3 weeks, and we seen 25 people born again. I mean, I never had seen God move in the kind of ways that he did. I've seen 20 people saved before, but it was amazing what God did. And it had got down to that last night. Now, listen to what I'm telling you. It got down to that last night, and it was time. I was going to have to leave at 4:30 in the morning. It's a four-hour drive over roads that you don't call a road. I mean, my horse would have trouble with these roads. My God, you drive up to a river, and that thing's running wide open. There's two rails about going across the thing. Huh? And you wonder, and we drive in a piece of truck. I'm not sure, but, you know, Chad Wells just believes it's a chariot in heaven, amen? And, you know, it's just a terrible road, 4 hours of that. And so I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, getting ready to go, and I'm going to bed that night, and I'm thinking about, it's got real now. Melanie's been putting this off in her mind, but she's figured out her daddy's fixing to leave her too. And I'm telling you, it's dark over there. It's a lot of oppression. And all of a sudden what I hear, pow, I sat there a minute. Melanie said, "What was that?" I said, "Honey, that's a machine gun." Prow. She said, "That's fireworks." I said, "No, baby, that's a machine gun. All the power's out. Power goes out every day. You don't leave home without an umbrella and a flashlight because the power's going out. You can count on it." So we're sitting in the black dark in this mountain jungle. So I said, "Just stay in the house, and I'm going to go out here and see what's going on." About the time I got out there in the yard, I met the missionary. Brother Wells was out there. And he said, "I wish this hadn't happened this night, preacher." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "They got a riot going up there at the high school. They're shooting down the hallways. That's what they do to succumb it." About 350 yards across the jungle from where I'm at. I said, "Man, is it getting very rough?" He said, "Yeah, but they won't fight down here. They'll fight out there." I go back in the house, and I'm getting ready to leave now. And in the morning, and she's praying, and we done been praying, and I'm sitting over there. She's snubbing and carrying on, and I'm praying. And so I went back there and talked to the Lord about it, and I said something I was ashamed of. I said, "Lord, I love you. I've served you everywhere. I've been everywhere. I've slept on the ground. I've done whatever you gave me to do and been happy about it. But Lord, I don't know if it's worth leaving my girl here with all in this place where there's no education, there's no water, and there's nobody here except Chad. If they kill him, he makes them mad and they kill him. So everybody's done for. And I don't know if it's worth it or not. I mean, I don't know about it." I was being honest with God. You ever do that? Y'all try it. It works good. And you know what God said to me? He said, "You know, the problem is you're asking the wrong question." And I said, "Lord, would you make me understand what's going on here?" And he said, "The question, preacher, is not, is it worth it? The question is, am I worthy?" That's the question we got to face right now. Right here in this hour, we got to decide, am I worthy or not? He said, "You gave me your money. You gave me everybody else's money. You give them kids to me when they was born." In my mind, the Holy Spirit began to show me them days that their mama and me laid them down on the altar and prayed and asked God to take them and to use them and to do whatever he wanted to do with them. And I watched them grow up. And I'm thankful to God for this church. I made no bones about it. I had a meeting way out there in Arizona. This church right here, them girls were singing, and my kids were restored to the work of God right at one song, right in the middle of that thing. And they've all been serving God now for nearly 20 years, right off the strength of what God did. I'm telling you, it's amazing what they did. But the question was, is he worthy? Now, this morning, the question was, sure, Lord, you're worthy. I got up, went in there, and I said, "Don't be sniffling, snuffling no more. God sent you over here, didn't he?" "Yes, sir, I think so." I said, "I believe it so. I pray to ask God about it. You serve God. Do the best you can. He'll take care of you. And your daddy will pray for you 3 times a day, every day." Amen. You know why? He's worthy. He's worthy. Now, brethren, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't preach that to you here. Because the devil's going to try me on it. See, you don't get it sometimes what these mission preachers go through, because the devil don't care about he don't care about us preaching on you how to get along better with your husband and wife. He don't care what we do, all that modern. When we start talking about getting down to pulling sinners out of the fire, he don't like it. He's going to stand against that church. He's going to stand against that pastor. He's going to stand against them hearts, and we're going to have to suffer for what we preach, but it's the truth. He's worthy. If you can't get that in your heart, this thing will never start. But if God's worthy of anything, he's worthy of everything. If God will save anybody, everybody or somebody, he'll save anybody. Amen. God is worthy. Verse 17, that's what he said. Paul said, if I be offered up, it's a willing sacrifice. Upon a sacrifice and service of your faith. Paul said, what I want to do is to help you with your faith. And what we've come for is to help you with your faith. Amen. To help you grow in faith. Listen, what you did last year was good for last year. But God wants you to do more this year. Amen. Don't you believe that? Couldn't you do more? Amen. Couldn't you believe God more? Couldn't you give just a little more? Couldn't you do more? Amen. Paul said, I'll be sacrificed on the service of your faith. I want to see your faith grow. For all the same cause, joy and rejoice with me. Paul said, you rejoice with me the same way. Amen. I hear about some major victory God's given you here at this church. And you know what we do at Bethany? We say, hallelujah, God's been blessing over yonder in Alabama, amen. And you know what you do down here? You hear God does something for us, and you say, hallelujah, God's working over yonder in Mississippi, or Odell over yonder in Sylacauga, or down yonder in Tuscaloosa, or up there in Huntsville, amen, or out in Alaska, or over there in New Guinea, or over in the Philippines. There's somewhere God's on the move. Many years ago, I was preaching a meeting down in Monterrey, Mexico, and I came out to get in the truck, and we had a great service that night. Nearly people always saved, but I didn't see anybody get saved. The altar was full. I didn't see anybody get born again. We got to the truck, and a guy walked up to the window, and in Spanish, he asked Ruben Murillo, was the driver. He said, Ruben, did anybody, people get saved tonight? And Ruben said, I'm Portichor. He spoke in English. He didn't speak in Spanish. He said, I'm Portichor. So his wife was in the back seat. The guy got gone. And Valerie said, Ruben, people got saved tonight? And he said, I'm Portichor. We headed on down the road. We got down a little bit. And I said, hey, Ruben, who got born again tonight? He said, I don't know, brother. I said, I didn't see nobody. He said, me neither. I said, well, you told them people you was pretty sure people got saved. He said, brother, I support missionaries. You support missionaries. We support. There's missionaries. Some of us had somebody saved tonight. I'm pretty sure. You know what I learned? That's the truth. I'm pretty sure somebody's getting something done. That's what this missions work's about, amen. It's caring, working together, watching God, sacrificing on the joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Someday it's my day to sacrifice. Someday it's yours, amen. But it's all for the same Lord. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded, watch this, who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not things which are Christ, or Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Let me pray, please. Father, please now help us as we try to get a hold of this thought. Lord God, help me to deliver it in a way that's full of the Spirit of God and not full of myself. And help the people to hear today, Father. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we think about this thing here, Paul, remember what Paul said about the mission offering. Now, Paul said, I'm willing to be sacrificed and serve to build your faith. Paul's got a willing mind. He's got an expectation of sacrifice. How about you? He's got an expectation of sacrifice, and he's willing to serve. Now, but they got a problem at Philippi, and they need some help. They need a preacher. They need somebody to come there and be an encouragement to them and to work there. And Paul's got the same problem that we experience today. He's looking around everywhere. Look, it's a Sunday morning message, amen. We're trying to do a couple of things here. He's looking around everywhere, and he's trying to find somebody that he can send to be a blessing and to help carry out the work. And you know what he says? He says, I can't send Titus. He's off in the work. He's already been sent. Titus cares. All you got to do is read his book. The Bible said Titus cared so much about him that he initiated the faith promise in two or three places himself. Titus cares. Hey, Demas has left him and gone back to the world. He's had all he could take of this thing. And John Mark's had some problems. He's on the way back, amen, and he's going to end up being a great asset to Paul before he gets out of there. The other guy, Epaphroditus, there with him, he's sick, but there's no man, nobody that he can send to Philippi to be a blessing. He has no man that'll naturally care for his soul. Wow. You know today in the church, right. Brother Charlie, there's all kind of ministries, ain't it? But we can't find nobody like-minded that'll care. Right. Amen. Amen. There's mission fields. I'm thinking right now in Papua New Guinea, and Lord have mercy, I got them in my mind all over the world. But in Papua New Guinea, they call a village a house line. In Mexico, it's a village. But in New Guinea, it's a house line. And there's a house line over there that's probably got, it's probably got 150 or 200 houses in it. No preacher. Nobody. Amen. They never heard nothing in there. Them are tribal people. And you're not going to talk to them tribal people unless you're willing to live with them tribal people. You got to live with them tribal people. They're watching for something. Several years ago, I went down. My son and I had the privilege we'd been preaching up in Alaska, and we had an opportunity to lead an old boy to the Lord. And his grandfather was a chief on the inside, an elder on the inside of the Yukon River Basin up there. His grandfather was a chief, and if an elder will give you permission, you can go. And so I asked him, can we come down the river? He said, yeah, and you can use my boat. Man, we're in. So we got up there, and we spent 10 days going down that river on that boat, village to village. We were in villages that hadn't had a preacher in them in 40 years. They all had little churches, but no preachers. Why? Nobody cares. 100 of them out there, Brother Terrence, living out there. They can just go to hell. What are they worth? Eating moose and living up there in the cold? Nobody cared.
Right.
We went right down that river. We saw them people saved. Finally saw some of them saved. But here's what I learned while I was there. I'd stop and talk to them people about the Lord, and I'd look, and there's a picture of a guy on the wall everywhere I went. And finally, I asked one of them elders, I said, who is that guy? And they said, that's our beloved bishop, so-and-so. I said, your beloved bishop? He said, yeah, he's a Presbyterian bishop. That's him. He came through here. You know when he came through there? Somewhere in the 20s. But he stayed there. He stayed there 3 or 4 months, and they were sick, and he brought some medicine, and he did something for them. And now, all these 100 years later, nearly, he's on the pictures on everybody's wall, and he's their beloved bishop, and the only thing the guy ever did was cared about him.
Amen.
We'll pop in with our Bible and our tract. Amen? And poke it at them and say, here, you ought to come to Jesus Christ, and we don't get anything done at all because they don't think we care to begin with. You got to live out there. You got Israel Warren on the wall over there. Israel didn't have a Chinaman's chance of making it when he went to Alaska. But I'm telling you, I thought he's going to get killed every time I talked to him up there. But I'm telling you, Israel is doing a work for the glory of God. You know why? He cares. He cares. That boy cares about the work he's doing up there. And Israel's making a difference in a real way. I'm telling you, Israel is a banner missionary. Amen. And the first time he wanted to go, he had an idea it wouldn't even work at all. He told me all about what he was going to do. And I said, Israel, I want to ask you a question. You're from Florida. He said, okay. I said, listen, my wife wants to go to Hawaii. He said, she does. And I said, she don't ever go nowhere. I said, Israel, I think I'll catch a bus and take my wife to Hawaii. She won't fly. He walked around and looked in the Florida a minute, and he said, Brother Tim, you can't take no bus to Hawaii. I said, no, in Israel, you can't do what you want to do up there either, amen? I've been up there. I know what's going on. That ain't going to work. But you know what Israel did? He just hung in there, and he got the job done. Man. Israel's a man that cares. I'm trying to tell you today, Paul said, I need to send somebody, but I don't have nobody like-minded. Now, brethren, think with me a minute. If God's going to call a man to preach that believes this Bible, where's he going to get him at? Is he going to get him at that big old outfit down the road down there where they got the pictures on the wall and they're swaying and swinging? He ain't going to get him down there because they're too busy building coffee shops. I'm not picking on them. They can do whatever they want to do. But I don't want to answer to God for no coffee shop while people are dying and going to hell.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Now they can do whatever they want to do. It's their business. But I'm telling you, he's not going to pick him down there. He's going to get to a bunch of like-minded people who love that book, and it's going to be our responsibility to win the world to Christ. The work of the mission work costs Jesus more than anything it ever was, the work of missions.
Yeah. Right, Richard.
More than anything. It almost bankrupt heaven for the mission program. And it'll cost the church more than anything else you ever do. God will ask more of you. I tell you, it ain't no problem to give dollars when you watch a kid ride off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It ain't no problem at all, amen. I'm constantly looking for another dollar to get over there. You know why? Because our hearts are there. I'm asking today, do you care? Do you care? I think about the great work that Brother Linton and him did in China and Brother Jimmy's doing over there now. You know why? Them are people that care. They're willing to be sacrificed on the service and the altar of somebody else's faith. Notice, I want you to notice the contrast here. Paul had a lot of confidence in Timothy. He saw his conversion. He was born again there in Lystra. Paul knew about him. Paul had seen him grow in Acts 16. He traveled with him through Derbe and Lystra. And he'd seen what Paul had been through, and he was able to stay at Paul. Paul trusted Timothy's faith, and Paul was willing to recommend him to the church. He was a comfort to Paul because he was a like-minded man. But Timothy had a contrast over others. Are you listening this morning? Look at verse 21. He said, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. You know the difference between Paul or Timothy and all the other people around there? It was a couple of things. Number one, he had like-mindedness to Paul. He didn't want to build. Paul knew this boy wasn't going to go over there and try to build some kingdom to himself. He was going to try to carry the word of God forward. He had a like-mindedness. He wasn't going to scrap his Bible. Hey, the first thing that happened, missionaries get on the field, they decide that English one won't work. That English one's the only one that will work. I've been there, brethren. I'm telling you, it's the only one that will work. And you got to, whatever else we do, we got to back it up with that English. We got to teach our people that English will back up what they're looking at. They get over there and they scrap their convictions. Brother Charlie got to where now, when a missionary calls, I used to not ever do nothing but pray and ask him where he came from, and I knew who to support. Yeah. Right. But nowadays, I don't want to support missionaries that's going to go to the field and try to build this modern conglomerate that's going on now. Right. That didn't work here. It killed our churches here, and I don't want to see it kill it on the mission field. Right. Amen. I don't care if they wear clothes or not. We ought to keep our convictions.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you today, we wouldn't have all these moral problems we got in the United States of America now had we listened to them old men when they was preaching to us 25 years ago and teaching us about these convictions and things. Timothy was like-minded. He would teach what he had been taught. Listen, don't think any of you got it all figured out, because you probably don't. You don't have enough time, enough years yet. Just do like you told. Just obey God, obey that book, and God will do something. But also, the difference between Timothy was, Brother Scott, he was available.
Yeah.
There were others, listen to me, there's others that could do it that won't, and they're not necessarily wrong. They're just not available.
Yeah.
Amen. In the church, you've always got that idea, is this a Sunday morning message? I'm trying to do it that way. You know, you always got that crowd of people that believe in the cause, but somebody else can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody else will get it done. Somebody else will clean the building. Somebody else will pick up the trash. Hey, listen, my church is in great shape this morning that I'm not there. Me and Miss Lisa went over there last night about 8. We do this about every 6 weeks, 8 weeks. We went over there last night about 8 o'clock when everybody was gone, and we cleaned the auditorium again. And I got in them pews and got that garbage out of them pews that they stuck down in the back of them songbooks and all that. I don't know, visitor reaching in the back of no songbook, no pew, and pulling out no gum wrapper. Man, he's after a songbook or something.
Right. Yeah, amen.
Amen. They didn't care. They didn't care. Somebody got to pick that stuff up.
Right.
Now, I'm not preaching to you, because I'm going to get them when I get there. Amen. But I'm just trying to tell you that you got to have a like-mindedness, and somebody's got to care. Listen, Brother Wood used to always say, a long boat ride ain't going to make a missionary out of you. And I'm telling you, you can take to the world if you want to. We're going to win the world of God. But if you don't start right here at home caring about the things of God and developing a like-mindedness to the teaching of the Word of God and the moving of the Holy Ghost of God, then our mission program will be no more than hiring gunslingers to go do our work that we won't do ourselves. We got to care, brother. We just got to care. And if we don't care, we need to get our way to an altar, tell God we don't care, and ask the Spirit of God to help us care, and weep our way to the cross, and God will help us care.
Amen.
Timothy was available. You know the people who God uses? People that are available.
Amen.
Amen. They're available. You know, you can't pick your ministry. That's God's job. You know, some guys will end up pastoring early. Some guys will do work later on. Some guys will never pastor. They'll always be support guys. And I'm telling you, you can't have church without them.
Right.
They're more necessary than you are.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you can't pick your own ministry. You just got to get available for the Holy Ghost of God to get a hold of you and use you, because there's a Philippi sitting somewhere. It may be a church. It may be a family. It may be a man somewhere that needs somebody. The preacher can't get to him, but he needs somebody that'll care, that's like-minded, that'll go to that place and do the work.
Yeah, amen.
That's what he needs. Amen. He's available. Nobody else is. That makes the difference. Others may not be wrong. They're just not available. And others are not settled in their minds yet where they stand.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have called John Mark, and I don't know where Mark is along his walk at this point. I know Mark makes it back, and there's a lot of real good teaching on Mark and his life, but maybe Mark's not settled quite yet. Maybe he's on the way to getting settled. Well, brother, the missionary's not waiting. You know, Brother Charlie, I'm preaching these little churches and I'm watching what happens. And I don't know nobody here and ain't nobody sitting in the middle, so it won't be no difference. But Brother A and Brother B, their wives get crossways with each other and halfway tear the church down.
Yeah.
And folks get mad and folks come to church and they all, whether they're involved or not. And you know who's hurting? That poor little missionary on the wall that can't get his mission support. Yeah. He don't have a thing to do with this. He's as innocent as he can be. He's not involved, but the church is not praying, because the Bible says a man and his wife can't even pray if they got aught between them. Amen. The church can't pray for them. The church can't love them. The church can't support them. The church can't take care of them like they ought to. All they can do is give them a financial tip.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make sense?
Good.
The key is we need somebody that'll care. Amen. I was so pleased when Brother Justice told me that your church would help support Melanie, because I knew you'd care about her. I knew you'd pray for her. I knew, because I'm going to tell you, brethren, it's some hard days on the mission field. It's some hard days for a single woman living in a place like that. It's hard days. I tell you, the devil, you don't think the devil knows that place. And I'm telling you, there's a spiritual oppression that hangs in every tree around there.
Yeah.
Just need somebody to pray. I'm glad for that. We got to stay in a condition spiritually to pray. God's looking for somebody like-minded who will care. Amen? Somebody will care. And now, listen, our Lord Jesus is the pattern in chapter 2. You see what he did in chapter 2? Look over there quickly at him in chapter 2. I'll wind this down here on a good way. Look there. In verse 5, here's what he says you ought to do. Now, remember what Paul said? He said Timothy was like-minded. Well, what mind? Verse 5 of chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Why should a missionary consider himself a servant? Because his master was a servant. Took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus took upon him a body of flesh just like yours and mine, because he cared.
Right.
He cared that you're Gentiles.
Yeah.
Separated from the commonwealth of Israel. Having no hope, amen. No place, no representation at the altar. But Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary and poured his blood out. And he sent the precious Holy Ghost of God by to come by your soul and to speak to your need and to show you where you were and to save you and to pick you up and make you a child of God and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and swirl you around and love you with all the love of God in his heart. He did that for you because he cares, amen. And I'm asking you, can't you care just a little bit? We're so hard. A good many years ago, I was coming back out of Mexico. I can't drive to Mexico anymore. It's a long story. But in those days, I was driving, and I crossed the border at Laredo all the time. And we came across the border at Laredo. We'd been down there 5 or 6 days, had a great meeting. And we had to stop there, turn in some insurance papers or something. And there was no boy standing right there by that exit, and he was full of devils. When I turned off to go down there, I noticed him. Hair was all matted. He's talking to himself. And it didn't take but just a second to know this old boy got demons eating him up. We pulled down there. I got out, turned them papers in. Got back in the truck, and I overheard something I didn't understand. I had a bunch of young guys with me. And let me say this. Brother Allen taught us, Brother Charlie, didn't he, that if you're going to do more, you got to see more. And I tell you, if your preacher comes up and says, we're going to make a mission trip, I know Glory Land does it, load up. Go. Don't quit telling all that stuff about how you can't take off. I mean, sell something, quit something, start something, go to the mission field. Watch what God's doing. Amen, amen, amen. It'll change your life forever. But those guys were sitting in that van, and we're looking at a 14-hour drive. Right now, we're fixing to be 14 hours. And they've been gone a week, and they're young guys, and they're ready to go home and see their wives and their kids. And one of them, by the time I got on the interstate, one of them said something about that guy, and somebody else said something about that guy, and somebody else said something about him. And it was all kind of derogative. And I just sort of pulled off at the next exit. And old Bubba said, preacher, what'd you forget? And I said, you forgot to take you down and tell, let you tell that old boy about Jesus, what I forgot. And we turned around, went back down there and saw that old boy. You know what we was learning, what we learned? We learned it, even coming off the mission field. You can get so caught up in yourself that you can't see. You can't see. You can't see the neighbor next to you is going to die and go to hell, but in your hand is the book of life that will win him to God. Say, well, I told him twice, but you're going to have to pray now. You're going to have to fast now. You're going to have to look for an opportunity now for God to break his heart and let you step in with the word of God. You're going to have to look for the Spirit of God to use you to work in his soul. It's going to take prayer and time and effort and sacrifice, but somebody's got to care.
Amen. Amen.
This work was started because somebody cared. Amen. It's been sustained because somebody cares.
Yeah.
And it's important today on the mission field, they're looking for somebody to care. In World War II, after World War II, we sent out more missionaries than any other time. America sent them out from everywhere. And you know, when they were going out to the mission field, they were standing on the shores here saying, there they go. And on the other side of the world, and they were saying, here they come, amen. Here comes somebody. You remember how bad the devil got? Sanballat got mad, had a fit because God had sent a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. There was somebody that cared. I mean, Nehemiah was a man who cared, amen. And God's looking for somebody today who'll care. Say, so, preacher, I want to be a caring guy. Well, you got to be careful. Because you got to be careful of what steals your heart. Because if the world steals your heart, you can't care about everything at one time.
Yeah.
You can't care about cars and trucks and guns and money and houses and junk, amen, everything that they're going to haul off to the garbage dump one of these days, amen. Everything you got's going to the dump sooner or later. It's moving out of here, amen. It's going to be broken, done away. It's all temporary. And if you set your heart and your affections on those things, it's a fleeting moment, and you won't care about the things of God the way you care. And now you've got to make your mind. You don't let nothing steal your heart.
Right.
I tell them, listen, my problem now, brother, it's not trying to find something to preach out of the book. It's full. My problem is getting my crazy heart into the position that God can use me to preach it.
Right.
Not letting something steal my soul, my fire, my passion for the things of God.
Yeah.
They had a need at Philippi, and there was nobody to meet it because there was nobody like-minded. I mean, there's brethren, listen, there's brethren all over. I got 4 or 5 preachers in my church now. I don't know if that's a blessing or what, but they're there. And you know, there's churches I know, brother. They don't, if the preacher has to be out of town or go to the doctor, there ain't nobody to take the pulpit. There's nobody. Nobody like-minded. Nobody. There's no boy came to our place and he got away from a church he was at, and he's come there and living with us. And the other day I got a phone call. He's all brokenhearted. You know, does God even know where I am? And I got a phone call way out there in the woods. I'm telling you, that's so far out there in the woods, I don't even really know where it's at. This guy called and said, would you send somebody? And Daniel, my boy, said, Daddy, you want me to go? I said, no, let's send Matt. And he said, well, ain't no telling what's out there. I said, that's all right, let's send him. He went out there to this church. He got there, and he was supposed to have one service at 11 o'clock. 11:15, when nobody there. But then all of a sudden, 2 cars came in. But didn't either one of them have a key? So Matt said, well, I'll tell you what to do. If y'all want to have church, just sit down out here in the yard on the car and I'll preach to you. And they said, well, that's all right. We'll do that. So they sat down out there and he preached to them. They got ready to leave. Everybody was good. And that fellow knocked on the window. He said, preacher, we took an offering. We want to give you something. So he stuck it in his pocket, a little check. And when he got back home, he called me. He said, preacher, you think they made a mistake? I said, what'd they do? He said, they gave me $650 and wouldn't 2 cars. I said, no, God knew where you was, man. I'm trying to tell you, God knew where you was. Let's go out there and preach to them folks and care about them and love them, amen, and God will do something. I wonder what y'all could get done if you just love folks. I mean, I ain't talking about loving no sin. You can't love nobody and leave them in. God didn't take you where you were and leave you where you were. He took you where you are and make you what he wants you to be. Amen. He ain't leave you in your sin. He didn't go along with that. He pulled you out of that, amen. But boy, wasn't it good to know he loved you? I tell you, I knew he loved me when he saved me. But boy, there's been some days and some hours and some brokenness, some things on my part that I caused and things that came my way in the ministry. And I fell underneath the everlasting arms. And I was glad that I had a Savior that could be touched with the feelings of my infirmities.
Amen.
Others' minds are on themselves and not on the church of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 56:11, yea, boy, Just reading the Bible is too hard of preaching for most. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Paul said, I can't find nobody. I could send you a bunch of people, but they won't care about you. And the mission field don't need, one of the problems, I got to wind down, but one of the problems that we had with the missionaries that went out of Europe, they had a double program going on. Some of the greatest missionaries you ever heard of. I mean, China Inland Mission, there's a lady going to be at our place next week. Her daddy, she spent 8 years. That'll be the last week. She spent from time she was 8 till she was 15 in a Japanese prisoner of war. Her daddy was one of the second command to Hudson Taylor, who settled two or three provinces in inland China himself. She's an old lady, 85, 86 years old, 87. But one of the problems that they had was the devil figured out that he could ride that missionary movement right into prosperity. So everywhere the missionaries went and broke in on the people's hearts and God saved their souls, civilization followed behind. Amen? Do you realize today, some of y'all may be watching them Olympics, but do you realize today that Ping Yong over there, where that man sitting with his finger on that button, Kim Jong, have you ever heard between 1907 and right on up to 1930, one of the greatest revivals recorded in the history of modern civilization happened in that place. Started right there. Kim Jong-un, that guy, that nut over there right now, them people wear his picture around on their shirt. And they pray to that guy. They pray to that guy. He believed, don't think he's scared to push that button. He thinks he's God. In North Korea right now, if they catch you with a Bible, you know Ernie Hemsley? You know Ernie? Sport Ernie? Boy, you got a good one there. If they catch you with a Bible in North Korea, 3 generations has got to go to prison. If they catch you with a Bible, they're going to put your kids in prison and your daddy and mom in prison. 3 generations. But do you know that that boy's great-grandparents were a member of an evangelical church in that revival? I'm thankful for the history of Glory Land. I'm thankful for the history of Bethany Baptist Church. I thank God for the history of Shady Acres Baptist Church. I thank God for the present. I thank the Lord for the future. But I'm telling you, just because we knew God and we walked with God one time don't mean we're going to maintain, brethren. It's going to take a heart like-mindedness of somebody who cares. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've been researching that. I'm trying to figure it all out. I haven't got it figured out yet. If I do, I'll ever let you know. But I'm telling you, the United States government was the one that drew that line. Some of you here are old enough to know. You know about that Korean conflict, and they split that thing up and separated that. And I'm telling you, I know if you've ever been there or not, but 60 miles apart, 60 miles apart. If you're in Seoul, South Korea, I fly through there all the time going to Asia. And when you get to Seoul, you think you're in New York City. No, there ain't no dinghies around there. I mean, you're in town. You're so much in town, I'm out of place. 60 miles. They ain't got enough to eat. They're under oppression. They can't even they can't listen to the radio. They can't watch a television program. All they can do is praise their leader. Don't you think they ought to have somebody that cares? That's why an old crazy boy like Emslin would. You taping. He'd do his best to get the Word of God into a place like that. It's amazing. There's things going on like that all over the world. Men are hazarding their lives. Women are hazarding their lives. Why? Not just because they care about souls, but they care about the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't you think, I'm going to quit now. Fix the quit. Now you stay with me. I'm going to quit. Don't you think that the Lord ought to have what he paid for?
Amen.
Don't you think he ought to have the souls of men? And don't you think that he ought to have the glory and the honor? Listen, the Bible says over there in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and 5, when they got to heaven, the Bible said John didn't talk about no jasper walls. He didn't talk about no street of gold. He didn't talk about no mansions. He didn't talk about meeting with grandpa and grandma. He didn't talk about none of that. He said there was a throne, and him that sat upon the throne was in sight like to look upon as a sardine and a jasper stone. And everything that's going on in heaven, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about the future, it's all about him. Amen. Him. They're praising him in glory, and the Bible said they're casting them crowns at his feet. And you ain't gonna get no crown if you don't get in God's crown winning program. And part of that is the work of God in a dying world. I don't want to stand up there doing this. I run around them old boys when I was growing up, and you get in the store, try to pay, and they'd all be doing this. You say, what's the matter with him? Somebody say he got fish hooks in his pocket. Whatever he had in there was caught. He couldn't get it out, amen. He's waiting on you to pay. And I hate to get up out of heaven and start that. No crown delay. Amen. What'd you do, preacher? Well, I don't know, Lord. I knew you was an austere man. What? Austere? I mean, the mild Jesus who died for my sins, who said, whosoever will, let him come. The one who picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock and put a new song into my mouth. That austere Jesus. I know it's just an austere man reaping where you didn't sow. And so I buried your stuff in the ground. Here it is, Lord. I'm going to heaven. My name's in the Lamb Book of Life. What else? I just want you to have glory. How are you going to give it to him? How's he going to get it, brethren? How's he going to get it? He's going to get it when you take that crown off your head that he won for you.
Right.
And he places it on your head, and you take it off and you throw it at his feet.
Amen.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Just one look of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. He's looking for like-minded people who care. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior today, I'd like to see you born again. I'd love to see you come to this altar, meet with somebody here to take a Bible, show you how to be saved. And we're not talking about recapping nobody. We're talking about you getting born again. We're talking about you looking down in your soul, and the Bible said, he that hath a son hath life. And if Jesus is not abiding in the depths of your heart, if the Holy Ghost of God's not there, you ought to give your heart to Jesus. You ought to come today because he loves you. He cares. He cares. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. That's what the old psalm said, right? And then if you're here and you're one of God's children, and some of you young families around here now, you listen to me right now, real quick. I know you. I've watched some of you grow up. And you've grown up around the altar, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right around the things of God. Serving God, singing God's praise. Holding your hand in the air, watching the glory of God come by. But you know what is happening today? The Bible said that when Moses came of years,
right?
Yeah. Maybe God will let me preach that message this week. When Moses came of years, he chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Amen.
Faith has to grow up.
Yep.
And it has to stop being Brother Charlie's mission program and Brother Justice's mission program, the pastors or his family or the old folks I call them in my place who've led the charges, and we need them young people.
Amen.
We need you to get involved and just see what God can do.
Yeah.
Amen. Would you at least give God that opportunity? Would you think about it? Would you pray about it? Be amazed what God did there.